Ladies, Shir and Shar Yichud HaMaisa. We're in the middle of Perakeh. It's very hard to say where. Perakeh is a huge Perak. We're up to the tactic of the Yetzer Hara to make us doubt Torah Shabbat Peh. And it follows last week, which was the tactic of the Yetzer Hara to make us doubt Nevuah, and that every word in the Torah is true. Chaf Aleph Tammuz, Wednesday.
But now I know
what
it is.
I found it.
How's the
rough feeling? Feeling fine. My voice is doing so great.
Would you like to cancel for today?
Oh, that's for sure. I now realize that I talk too loud. Now I'm going to talk, and you're going to say, oh, the Rav's talking in a normal volume. Now I realize the Rav's always yelling.
Otherwise we don't hear it upstairs, I'm sure. We do need to hear it.
The laryngitis is not because of the yelling. The talking too loudly is because I'm lokui in my hearing.
What?
My hearing's lokui, Hebrew. My hearing is not on tip-top shape. So I talk loudly because to me, I'm talking too low. But to another person, I'm talking at a normal level. So that's why I always talk too loudly. So it's good to be aware of that and try to modulate my voice. Because now, to me, I'm talking pretty low. But I'm probably talking normally now. So that's not such a good thing. Okay, let's learn. Learning Chavis Halvavos, Shari Yichud HaMaisa, and we're learning about the tactics of the Yetzer Hara after having a whole discussion about the general tactics of the Yetzer Hara. And he goes from the most theological, intellectual, philosophical, conceptual ideas to, and we'll see as we move along, and we'll probably start picking up speed. He goes to, and then he tries to get you to do things that are not right. Meanwhile, we're still up to the theological, philosophical, intellectual, conceptual. But we made a lot of progress. We moved from, is there life after death? Is there anything after we die, is there anything else out there? To Hashem Echad, to Hashem's omnipotence. And last week we learned about believing in Nevuah, believing that every word in the Torah is true, believing it was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, believing that Nach is true, and that it's that Nevuah. And we spent the whole last week talking about the importance of believing that Nevuah is true. Please excuse me.
Isn't that one of the principles of faith?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that one of the principles of the Ani Mammon?
Yes, we talked about that last week. Why is it one of the principles of the Ani Mammon? Why is it so important? So now we're up to the next step. Again, they all start with basically the same phrase. B'chasher Yisya'ish mipatoscha b'fonim ha'ele. No, we're up to the next one. B'chasher Yisya'ish mimucha b'inyin hazeh. Those are the words. If he gives up with this because you've been through what the Chavis Halbava says, Nevuah is very logical. It's not an otherworldly nais that you have to believe in, but it's logical that Hashem, if he's real, which he is, would communicate with people. So he'll give up with this, but now he comes, Yisapik Oscha B'Kabbalah. Now we're starting dangerous territory. Why? I think it's dangerous territory. Because till now, everything he said, everybody thinks, although it's not true, but they consciously say to themselves, I would never, ever believe or let such heretical thoughts enter my mind. Okay, maybe, maybe not. But now we're moving along the spectrum and we're getting to hit home. So now we're... I'm in the middle of giving shiur and I can't talk. V'asisa k'chachmosecha. Bye. That's always a dangerous thing to say to people. So now we're getting into, I say, dangerous territory, but not mamish dangerous, so not as dangerous as next week and the week afterwards. Now he's going to say, maybe all of us have thought this at one time or another, I'm sure. How do I know Torah Shabbal Peh is true? Okay, I believe in Nevuah, but Nevuah is what's written. Torah Shabbal Peh, you're asking me to believe all of these things and laws that it doesn't even say anywhere. And you're asking me to believe that it's an unbroken chain and that we, because, you know, there's a lot of machloksim and a lot of shilas and a lot of gray areas and you have to ask a rav. But the truth is, you know, we don't realize, or maybe we do realize, how 98 to 99% of our lives, there's no machlokas. And it is clear what we should do. And when we have a shiloh, it is a machlokas, it's in a very narrow bandwidth of if this happens, what do you do, or in this circumstance, etc. So how do I know Torah Shabbal Peh? So the Yetzirah tries to get you to doubt the integrity of Kabbalah. It means we have the Masorah. The Masorah that we have, you know, the Yom Halacha, and he'll say to you, Ki Amuskol, what's logical, in other words, mitzvos. See, he's very clever. He says, mitzvos that are logical to you, sure, why not? Go do them. The Hakosov, and what's written in the Torah, because we've accepted the premise of Nevuah. So if it's written, Shnei Hememes, you can be as firm as you want. Because he knows that if there's no Torah Shabbal Peh, you haven't a clue what to do. Nothing means anything. That's what Chaim Soloveitchik is going to point out. Without Torah Shabbal Peh, we're clueless. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Ach Masha Amar Rabbeinu Zichronim Livracha, but what it says in the Gemara, or in the Mishnayis, and as an extension, Chaim Soloveitchik was written very long ago, and there was before the age of the Rishonim. You have to imagine how long ago this was written. Before the, I don't know if you're aware of the how Torah, before there was a Rif, before there was any code of Jewish law, all there was Mishnayos and Gemara, and of course all the Tanakh works. One's called Torah's Kohanim, it's written on Sefer Vayikra. You might have heard of Sifri, Sifra, Mechilta. These are all Tanaic works, different in structure than Gemara, but halachic works written on the Chumash. So you have Mishnayos, Gemara, and the halachic Medrashim, and of course the Agadic Medrashim. To most of us, I think the word Medrash is probably synonymous with Agada, but the word Medrash actually means to darshan to psukim, to be doresh to psukim, to understand all the nuances of all the words of the psukim, the vav, the yud, the hey, what does every word mean, why is this placed here, what's the hidden meaning of this turn of the phrase. That's called, that's all called Medrash, because it's drashos. Then you have halachic Medrashim and agadic Medrashim. So he says, how do you know any of that? What are they talking about? And they're having discussions, and they're arguing, and they're debating. Who said any of it is so? How do we know our Masorah is true? I can accept that. Now, obviously, if we only accept that the Torah was given at Har Sinai, and we don't accept Chas V'Shalom any of the Masorah, so there would be no Jewish people. Torah Shabbal Peh. We're talking about Torah Shabbal Peh now, and you know, Torah Shabbal Peh is a twin of Torah Shabbat Ksav. they have to coexist. It can't be one without the other. But that's what the Yetzer Hara, that's where he's up to. I could tell you, I'll grant you Hashem, and I'll grant you Avodas Hashem, and I'll grant you Nevuah. But that's it, come on. Ach, Mashamar, Rabbi Sena, Zichronim Levracha, Eino Iker. It's not so fundamental, it's only Drabanan, which people say all the time, but they're talking about something else. We're not even talking about yet Gzeira, Drabanan, when Rabbanan said you have to fast, let's say on Shabbos of Tammuz or on Tisha B'Av, where Rabbanan said you shouldn't move Muktzah. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about the interpretation of the D'oraisa. You know, as it says, you have to do this, you have to do that. So who said the Rabbanan's way of doing it is so important? You do it the way you understand it. Everybody should interpret the Torah the way he understands it. There's no Torah Shabbal Peh. Eino Iker v'lo kibulo chova. I mean, that could even be true, but that's not Hashem talking. It doesn't say anywhere. Now the truth is, you know, it does say Torah Shabbal Peh in the Torah. There are allusions to it, but this Yetzer Hara, he's not going to allow those allusions to be miskabel by you. Now the truth is, if you want to even go deeper into it, which we're not going to, I'm just mentioning these things in quick passing. The first Luchos it's brought down had, we can't fathom how, but have the entire Torah Shabbal Peh embedded in the Luchos. We don't know how was it written. It wouldn't have been written because then it would have been Torah Shabbal Ksav. But it was somehow embedded there. This is a Medrash. It's not Nogea, because we don't have the Luchos Rishonos anymore. They were broken. And now we have to struggle to understand Torah. That's part of the, you know, just like we don't understand what it means to not have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't understand how many things we have to struggle for now. We have to struggle to do tshuva. We have to struggle to daven. We have to struggle to earn parnasa. Life is a struggle since the Churban Beis HaMikdash. You know, we don't think of it that way. We think there's no Beis HaMikdash. So, you know, I save myself a trip three times a year. But it's a whole different life, a whole different world. So, you know, so it's a whole different world. The second Luchos, it was a paradigm shift. And some say that's when it really became Torah Shabbal Peh, and that means you have to struggle to understand. You have to have a Rebbe, like the whole system of learning. Now, they never really had the Luchos Rishonos, if you know the story, or if you saw the movie. Moshe Rabbeinu broke it right away, and they never really had it. So, you know, just like Adam HaRishon wasn't in Gan Eden all that long, and that's the story of the world, that the good things don't, you know, they're very fleeting. The Golos could be 2,000 years long, that nobody seems bothered by, but the good things are very, very fleeting. Anyway, this Yetzer Hara really occurred on a national level in Jewish history. It probably started with Korach. Korach couldn't deny the Torah, so he denied Torah Min HaShemayim, but he had to agree with the Aseres HaDibros, right? So he was the first denier of the Mesorah, that Moshe Rabbeinu was not the true carrier of the Mesorah. So it started with Korach. The next time it rears its head is really much, much later in history with the Kusim, or the Samaritans, who officially didn't believe in Torah Shabbal Peh. That was their rallying cry. And even now, if you read the wrong books in history, you read books that you're not allowed to read, so they talk about Rabbinic Judaism, and Ezra introduces Rabbinic Judaism. You should close your ears, don't listen to these things. But they have these, and this is all this, what we're learning now, Mechavis Olavus, that it's not, it was made up later, and Ezra, and he did away with the cult of Karbanos and all sorts of silly things that they have no idea, no basis, nothing. So, but this was a Yetzirah. And so then we beat them. That's the story of Hanukkah, has a lot to do with that. And the whole battle, the Sinas Chinam of Bayis Sheni, the Beis Halevi, at length discusses it in Parshas Bo, the end of Parshas Bo. A lot of the Sinas Chinam was originally the catalyst for the Sinas Chinam was the inner fight in Bnei Yisrael with the Shomronim or with the Tztukim against the Tztukim and the Baisusim against the Prushim. It was like a civil war for the hearts and minds and souls of the people. And from that, you know, once you're fighting already, it comes out a lot of Sinas Chinam. Beis Halevi talks about, but that certainly was the start of it. And so that, Baruch Hashem, then in the days of the Rambam, there was, if you know history a little, which I don't, there was a tremendous machlokes about the calendar, and also some major league Talmid Chachamim, Gaonim, didn't want to accept the Mesoris of the calendar, how to structure the calendar. And a lot of people followed, I forget the names now, it was Baba, and there was a big split in Klal Yisrael. You could read about these things are a history. But then the Rambam, with the force of his personality and his genius, and like, he just overwhelmed everyone. Like, and that's the Rambam's also, in a sense, like Ezra HaSofer, you could say, saved Klal Yisrael. If you look at the history, he put them in Cheirem, and there was a lot of, as you can imagine, there was a lot of flack on him for putting them in Cheirem. What are you putting them in Cheirem for? That's not the way. We have to debate them. And then, okay, he put them in Cheirem, and he said, you can't marry them, and they're not part of Klal Yisrael. They don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. They're denying the Mesoris. There were a couple of years when the Klal Yisrael had two calendars. So he won that war. Then things pretty much settled down for our long gullus until Reform Judaism came along. Conservative Judaism is Stam an Irish guy that came much later in America. Because in America, they always want to have their cake and eat it too. So they made conservative Judaism so you can drive to shul on Shabbos. But Reform Judaism says, what's shul? What's Shabbos? And that's, so Reform was this, and they certainly denied Torah Shabbat Peh. And they denied Nevuah also, but a lot of it was in the Haskalah, very much of it was the denial. That's why two Mefarshim, now we're already much later in history, so you'll hear now names that you recognize. Two Mefarshim stood up, the Malbim and the Netziv. They weren't, they were, you know, maybe 100 years apart, but they stood up and they took on in their task to show how the drushes of Chazal are embedded in Torah Shebiksav. How it's, there's a system, there's a rational system. And it's like the marshal Rav Shamshon Yuval Hirsch gives, a famous marshal, it's like you take notes in class and you can't write every word. So you develop like sort of a code, and a dot means this. And you make like marks when you're taking notes to remind you what the professor said. Because you can't write every word, so you make like you make simonim, or you'll write a letter or a word that will remind you of the whole train of thought. So they, the Malbim more so than the Tziv, along those lines, they took on themselves to battle the Haskalah and to battle those that were now denying Torah Shabbat Peh, and they showed how it's not arbitrary, it's not just belief, but there's rules. And there's a system, a rational system, and they show why it's logical that this letter should point to this din according to the rules of grammar and according to the rules of constructing Hebrew sentences, and how the words of the Chumash are beautiful. Rav Shamshon Yuval Hirsch did a lot of that also, but later, And really, the Malbim, beautiful, the Malbim wrote an entire sefer of like the rule book of Torah Shebaal Peh, but it's to show how it's connected to Torah Shebiksav. That was their main, I shouldn't say their main, but that was a major part of their lives. A major thing that they accomplished in their lives was to combat this Yetzirah again. This is on a national level. And there it remained until today, where some everybody is atheistic. It's not a question of Torah Shebaal Peh. Well, sometimes in Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebiksav, you see how the Yetzirah works, you see how true the Chayvus Halvavus is, because and all those movements that insisted they believe in Torah Shebiksav, but it's just Torah Shebaal Peh. So within 10, 20, 30 years, everything, there's nothing left. Because as the Chayvus Halvavus is about to say, without Torah Shebaal Peh, did the air conditioning go off? So, does someone know? Maybe it's the clock is not set properly? Okay, we probably made it worse. Okay. No, it doesn't go on. Okay. Anyway, so this is a very real thing that was on a national level in history. On a personal level, you have people that they can't believe it's that important. How could it be? How do you know? A dot on the Esrog, where does it say in the Torah? Where does it say in the Torah that a dot on the Esrog makes it possible? Where does it say how to be Mafresh Challah? Where does it say in Mezuzah? Like, so this is the Yetzirah. And again, just like he said in his Hakdama, once he has a foot in the door, then everything else unravels and falls apart. So he says, and now he says, V'chasher tistakel b'sichlecha, but if you use your rational faculties, doesn't just say believe in the Masorah, although he could have said that. But that's not the Mahalach of the Chayvus Halvavus. Chayvus Halvavus says, like, where's your logic? You need a Torah Shebaal Peh. There's nothing, why would Hashem do that to us? Right? We're talking now, you accept that the Torah was given to us by Hashem. Why would Hashem give us a Torah that makes absolutely no sense, that we're clueless about how to do anything? There's not one mitzvah in the Torah that we would know what to do. How many words in the Torah does it say? Laisasakal malacha, thank you. Now what? What's malacha? What does it mean, malacha? So he says, and Beinodom Lachaveiro needs a Masorah. Because we don't do Beinodom Lachaveiro, what seems to us reasonable and logical, we do Beinodom Lachaveiro because Hashem said. So there also there's rules and regulations, and as logical as you think Torah Shema, certain mitzvahs are, but the rules are not necessarily logical. You know, you have to pay your worker. Very logical, of course you have to pay your worker, but you have to pay the worker by the end of the day when he works. So that's already, you know, to interpret the pasuk in the Torah. And how you have to pay him, and you have to pay him in cash, and you can't pay him this way or that way. There's a multitude of halachas in any area in Torah, as Chayvus Halvavus points out. You can't make a move without Torah Shebaal Peh, right? You're not allowed to murder someone. Well, okay, that's very nice, but without Torah Shebaal Peh, so you don't know if you could murder. You can't murder a guy that's chayiv misa. You can't murder either. There's always rules. That's not called murder, right? To kill someone that's b'chuyiv misa, there is a death penalty in the Torah. It's not called murder, or abortion. So that becomes mutter. Any mitzvah needs Torah Shebaal Peh to tell us its guidelines. So it's only logical, it's pure logic that tells us that there must be a Torah Shebaal Peh. Somewhere there's a dictionary that explains what all these words in the Torah means. You read, Vasu lahem tzitzis al kanfei vigdehem. I don't know what that means. Nobody would understand what it means. Shabbos. I mean, it's absurd. That's what he says. Ki hamuskel v'hakosov, both logical mitzvahs, quote unquote. V'hakosov tzrichin ela kabbalah tzorech gadol. They need the mesorah. Kabbalah again, makabel ish mipi ish. A chain of Kabbalah means we received Moshe Kibel Torah Masinai, Mesorah Yoshua, Yeshua Liskenim. Kein echad mehem yachol ligomer mebli utiyah Kabbalah. There's no mitzvah you would be able to do, none, without having the Mesorah of Torah Shebaal Peh telling you how to do it, or what to do, or when to do it.
Why did you ask? Why didn't you get the answer? Why did Hashem make it that the Torah, we'd be clueless if we didn't have Torah that Shebaal?
So what are you asking?
Why did he set up the system that...
Why is it like this?
Why can't it all come in one package?
Yeah.
Very good question. The answer is, first of all, it's probably not ideal, as I told you. I don't know, the Medrashim talk about how, indeed, by the Luchos Rishonos, it wasn't that way. So maybe it's not ideal. But the concept is, it actually strengthens our connection to Har Sinai. Because everybody needs a Rebbe. Everybody needs a Rebbe. So, if I cannot understand what the Torah says without someone teaching me what his Rebbe taught him. And that connects me to Har Sinai. Otherwise, it's a conceptual answer. It's speculation. It's to keep the authority of the rabbis, that they are the defenders of the Mesorah. Because Shilas will always come up. And now I turn to my Rebbe, who taught me what tefillin, what it means, ukshartam la'olsal yodecha, or uchsav tam al mezuzos peisecha b'shamecha. So now when a Shilas comes up and it's missing a word, so I know I have to go to my Rebbe to tell me the din, because I had to go to him to explain to him, to me, what it means, uchsav tam al mezuzos peisecha b'shamecha. I don't know what it means. What should I write on the mezuzah of the door? What does it mean? And to every door in the world, etc., etc. That's speculation. We only can speculate why. Maybe it's according to the Beis Halevi, it's to ensure that we are omel b'Torah. If everything would be written, see, now it's hard to understand because our minds are so shriveled up. That Rebbe made a paradigm shift. Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi wrote down Torah Shebaal Peh. So this is already a very long time ago in history. We'll call it 2,000 years. More than 2,000 years ago. More than 2,000 years ago, Rebbe said, "We can't go on like this." Changed Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Already the chain of Mesorah started weakening, and there were machleiksen. Right? I give a shear, I walk out of here, you start fighting what I said, what I meant. Right? So this started happening, and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel started. That was the first machleiksen. But that already weakened the Mesorah. It started getting weaker. And then Rebbe said, "It's not good. It's going to get lost. We're getting weaker. The Doros are getting weaker and schwacher. We're going to have to write down." So your question is really a theoretical question, because for the last 2,000 years, everything has been written. So the answer to your question is to keep the connection to a Rebbe, to keep the connection, I believe, it's the connection to Har Sinai, because you need that whole chain. Going back to Sinai, otherwise, it's not such a good thing that everything's written down. When I now learn a sefer that's printed, I'm not connecting to the author anymore. I'm not, because I have the Chavis Halvavas here. I'm not. Imagine if the Chavis Halvavas would not be written, and I would be talking to the Talmud of a Talmud. Of the Talmud, etc. of the Chavis Halvavas. If anybody has ever the difference between reading a book and hearing a lecture, right? It's a day and night. even an hour ago, I learned Baram Baba Berman, Rosh Hashiva, that's all. I heard Shiurim from him. Now, he put out Sfarim. As good as the Sfarim are, they're a pale imitation. It's like eating imitation chocolate, you know. It's like nothing compared to hearing him lecture. Yeah.
When you say Farshabal
says, well, he taught it to Moshe the 40 days that Moshe was on his
teach.
Moshe.
So did he write down his future arguments? What did he do?
Well, he didn't write down anything.
I'm saying, did he?
There is a Gemara that says that anything that would ever be learnt and understood and argued was told to Moshe. Now, how could that be, you're asking? Because the argument ultimately ends up because there are two interpretations of what it says. It's not two people arguing. I'm not talking about an argument where one person is like, didn't understand something, and one person did, the way if we would argue. No offense. We're talking about Lahavdil, just like you read a book, you read Shakespeare, Lahavdil. And I'm saying Shakespeare because you women don't have a learning experience of Gemara, right? So maybe you remember when you went to school, you learned Shakespeare, and you could learn that there's a Constitution of the United States. So, right, the people's right to bear arms, right, Amendment 2. So now there's a machlokas, what Amendment 2 means, and it bears both interpretations. One says it means that a private guy in a house has a constitutional right to have a gun, and another shita says, no, it talks about a militia, and they have a right, a militia has a right to have arms, and the state can have a militia. It doesn't mean a person. So Moshe Rabbeinu, we are told, if there's a valid it's a pity that machloksim broke out, because if it wouldn't have been for the weakening of the Masorah, so it would have been given over exactly what was meant. But now we're not dealing with the machlokas, chas v'shalom, pardon the expression, between Reform and Orthodox Judaism. That's not a machlokas. That's nothing. There's only one side there. We're talking about a machlokas in the Gemara. So that means each one had a Masorah. Beis Shammai had a Masorah, which they both took. It's like taking the Second Amendment. And they both, each, interpreted it a different way. So now that the real meaning was lost, so they're both valid interpretations. You know, it's almost like Hashem saying, in Brisbane Abbasarim, Va'avodum Ve'inu Osam Arba Me'oshana. So that could be two interpretations. It could mean that they're going to be slaves for 400 years, or you can interpret it, they'll be Be'eretz Lo Lohem for 400 years, and within those 400 years, they'll be slaves. And now, either way, so Moshe Rabbeinu was taught all the machloksim. He was also taught the true way. One of the amazing things about Torah, and this is already a very heavy discussion, and it's not really for women, it has to do with the whole learning process. The amazing thing is that we almost, in the learning process, once we hit that new Madrega, it's almost as if we've accepted, no one could really reach back and get and say, I know that this is what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, what he really means. Now, it's a different system. There's a system of Beis Din, and Beis Din decides who the Paskin like. That was the role of Beis Din HaGadol, was to decide who's right and who's wrong. And Adarabba, on the contrary, there's a rule of lo b'shamayim hi. If a Navi would come, and that's the famous story of Rabbi Eliezer, that he said, if I'm right, Hashem will prove I'm right, because he'll make the walls cave in, he'll make the carob tree get uprooted. And Hashem sort of said, hey fellas, he's right. And Rabbi Yeshua stood up and said, I'm sorry, Hashem, you yourself told us, because obviously that's the pshat, you yourself told us that we are to ignore you from now on. Lo b'shamayim hi, you gave us the Torah. You told us now that the Torah will be understood according to the way the human mind understands it. The human mind that, of course, that doesn't have an agenda, that doesn't, I'm talking about the human mind of professors of Talmud at Hebrew University. That's not the human mind. That's the human stomach. That's the human legius. They have an agenda. But the human mind, nobody has more machlokes than the Gemara. And every page of Gemara there's a machlokes. But there's lo b'shamayim hi. So it's as if you know your constitution, it's as if we are told that original intent is not the way to go. We're interpreting the words of the Constitution. Don't try to get to the original intent of the framers of the Constitution. That would be like lo b'shamayim hi. We're not going back to the people sitting and writing the Constitution of Philadelphia and what was Benjamin Franklin thinking when he was writing. Don't go there. Lo b'shamayim hi. Hashem said, now, you could ask why? Because Nevuah is going to come to an end. And without Nevuah, you don't really know that Rebbe Lezer could say, let the walls fall in if I'm wrong and Hashem will prove I'm right. That's a rarity that doesn't happen. So if I'm arguing with my fellow Beis Din member, how to paskin, I'm not going to be able to say, let the walls fall in. I mean, depending where I'm sitting. But so, the Gemara says, Masha Talmud Vosik Osid Lechadesh Nitna Lemoshe Misinai. Moshe was taught everything. How? And I try to answer you, how could he be taught Machlokesim? Is there an ultimate truth? It's a hard question to answer. There's a famous din in which there's a Machlokes in the Gemara about a certain type of tzaras, if it's Tomei or Tohar. And there was a machlokes, and the Gemara tells a story that somebody went to Shemayim, like, and they had a dream, and there was a machlokes, and Hashem said one way, and the Malachi Hashari said another way, which was also pretty funny. But that's only possible if we say, I'm sorry, lo b'shamayim hi. So now Hashem's like on the Malachim's level, so to speak. And the punchline is that the Rambam Paskin is not like Hashem. That's the punchline. And there are one of the, you know, so you see the power of lo b'shamayim hi, that it's really, really serious. And you see the power of the human seichel that Hashem entrusted us with the Torah. He gave us the rules. He gave us the way to darshan Torah. He gave us seichel. The Torah is supremely logical. The whole Gemara is a dialectic. The whole Gemara is questions and answers. If it wouldn't be logical, then there couldn't be any Gemara. Because the whole Gemara is built on, you made a statement, and I have found a contradiction, or I have found another place which contradicts that statement. The whole thing is seichel, the mind. The Masorah is the Mishnayos. The Mishnayos is the Masorah. The Mishnayos are Piskei Halachas. The Mishnayos are full of machloksim. Yeah, because ever since Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, unfortunately the Masorah weakened a lot. I don't know if I answered your question. No, it's a fascinating. I mean, you can spend your whole life studying just this. It's fascinating. You know, most people learning, they don't think about these things. But like down to our days, you'll have a machlekes of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rebbe Eliashiv, like, right? Like, because the Torah is endless. It's endless. There's so much, and as much as I say that 99% of it is accepted and the machlokas is in the remaining 1%, but that remaining 1%, look at all the svarim, sure, there wouldn't be so many svarim if there wouldn't be machlokas. My speculation of why Hashem did this system is to maintain the connection to a Rebbe, to maintain actually strengthens my link to Har Sinai, because I need, if Rav Shimon Shkop not have written a Sefer, and the only way I would know Rav Shimon Shkop's Sefer is by hearing Shiurim from Rav Koppel. Now I would hear Rav Koppelman, Olav HaShalom Zatzal, ever hear of him, Rav Koppelman? So he was Nifter half a year ago, something like that. So he heard Shiurim from Rav Shimon Shkop. And let's say there's Rav Schlesinger in Muncie, who's a Talmud of Rav Koppelman. Or if someone comes to me and they want to hear Shiurim from Rav Abba Berman. So I ask you, if they hear from me and I say over a Shiur from Rav Abba Berman, or that's what one person does. Person number one does that. Person number two takes the Sefer off the shelf and he learns it. Whose link to Rav Abba Berman is stronger? So for sure the person that heard from me. Because a Sefer is now takes on a life of its own, and it's disconnected from the author, really. And, you know, but if he hears it from me, so it's true, he's only hearing my interpretation of Rav Abba Berman, that's true. But when he learns the Sefer, he's only hearing his own interpretation of Rav Abba Berman, and he's only reading words, it's really lifeless words that you hope convey what Rav Abba was saying. If Rav Shimon wouldn't have written a Sefer, my link to Rav Shimon would be stronger if I would sit by Rav Schlesinger in Muncie and hear the Shurim that he heard from Rav Koppelman, who heard Shurim from Rav Shimon Shkop. My link to Rav Shimon is much stronger than if I take out his Sefer and I learn it.
What about listening to a Shiur on a CD versus hearing from you? What if you heard Rabbi Berman's Shiur on a CD?
It wouldn't be as good, the Gemara says. V'hoyu einecha ro'os es morecha. The Gemara, in fact, says, Rav Meir says that the reason I'm not as sharp as my fellow learners is because I sat in the back of the person saying Shiur, and they sat in front. And if you've ever attended a lecture, I mean, I could say you with no hesitation whatsoever, when I hear a shiur from Rav Abba, his gestures, his hand motions, his pauses, what he emphasized, 25% of the explanation is that. So an audio is better than, I think, hearing from a Talmud, of course, but as the Gemara says, it's not better than a video. And even a video, if you talk to any photographer, and if you've seen any wedding pictures ever, any wedding videos, a video doesn't really capture the moment the way we want it captured. It it's a record of it. You know, but
you said an audio is better than hearing it from a Talmud? So it would be better to hear the audio than hearing it from
me? I would think so. I would think that someone hearing a tape of Rav Abba Berman would gain more than hearing it from me, because he's hearing it.
Not if you saw it, you had a relationship with him, you saw it.
Okay, but it's, okay, we're talking now, you know, but this is filtered through me, so he's still getting my interpretation, and there he's hearing it from the horse's mouth. So the ideal is the video. That's the ideal, you know, but I'm not aware that they, even today, I'm not aware that the videoing Rosh Hashiva's Shang Shira. When I started off life, tape recorders were the internet of its time. They were evil incarnate. Oh, everybody banned, you see, this is like history, we don't like to talk about it. Everybody banned tapes and tape recorders. They said this is going to be the ruination of Klal Yisrael. Now any kid can walk into a store and walk out with a rock and roll record in his shirt pocket. Right? Till now you had to lug around, you know, these reel to reel. What are you going to use? A big LP. Where are you going to hide an LP? And where are you going to hide it? And now every kid can buy rock and roll, Elvis Presley, and he could put it in a shirt pocket, and no one will be the wiser. And it was banned. There was one, I'm not telling you history now, I'm telling you my interpretation of history. One gadol ignored the ban of all the Rosh Hashivas, and he just went his merry way and said shiurim, and there were a battery of tape recorders like a press conference from the president. That was Rabbi Avigdor Milner Zatzal. Oh, okay. Yeah, but he was in his own world anyway. Yeah, that's okay. Anyway, so, but then, take the Meshech Hashanim, 1, 2, 3, 4 years, my entire sojourn in Philadelphia Yeshiva, tape recorders were banned. Banned. Usher, like internet. Work of the devil. Okay, that's what in 20 years from now they left that about the internet. Right. They did, I told you why. Because now any kid could walk into a store and walk out with rock and roll, and with any schmutz, with anything. That was schmutz then. So you walk out with any schmutz in your shirt pocket, no one will know about it. Right? Very logical, right? But then it went, and then when I, my, until the last, no, my, the whole time I heard officially shiurim from Rav Abba, we didn't let him know we were taping it. No, because he didn't want the tape. See, he wanted, he said he would never write svarim, he always maintained, and he wouldn't allow tape recorders. You want to understand what he's really saying, you have to come learn by him, and hear the shiur, and watch him, and see him, and that's and chaz of the shiur. So we taped it surreptitiously for 4 years. I remember then because he gave shiur for an hour. And the most ubiquitous tape, and the 120-minute tapes would always tear. So we got 90-minute tapes. So we had to figure out a way to flip the tape. Oh, so everybody was in on it. So I used to tape it. I gave the signal. At 45 minutes, I'd give a signal. Everybody would start coughing. And I hit stop. You remember the old cassettes? I hit stop, take the minute, turn it over, hit record, and like, I don't think he must have asked himself, like, this is very funny. We had someone sitting here. The wire of this microphone ran under the rug, into the bima. It's here. And you know the fringes they have?
Yeah.
So there was a microphone, and the fringes covered up the mouth of the mic. And Rav Abba was standing right here. And he would end this one on for 4 or 5 years. So that's why we have so many tapes of him giving shiurim. Then, after I left the yeshiva officially, I maintained. I was always a Talmud of his, Baruch Hashem, for the next 30 years. But I left the yeshiva then. You know, he relented and he let them tape him. And then it was, and again, it looked like a press conference, because then there were like 10 tape recorders set out. And this is still very rudimentary cassettes, you know. And then we moved into 8-track. First 8-track, and then we moved into CDs. CDs is just a small LP, that's all it is. Right?